The way we consume and share news today, it is largely rooted in social media outlets, a reason why it's crucial to look at what's being discussed online. From the hottest issues and trends for our daily social media minute, we're joined by Erica in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Wednesday.
Yes, happy Wednesday.
As we claw our way up this hump. Yeah, Wednesdays are tough.
Yeah, but you know, if you think about it, it's just like, it's just another day. We only have two more days to go before the weekend. So.
And we'll do this all over again the next week. Sometimes I just need like a culprit that makes my day more difficult, and Wednesday usually gets the worst of it. Anyway, let's get started. A lot of grounds to cover, including new uniforms and a relatively new trend. At least we put a name to it, Learncation.
So South Korean national football team's new uniforms kits have been unveiled, and they blend the aesthetics of traditional Korean art with cutting edge sportswear technology. And the brand Nike revealed the uniforms, the new uniforms, on Tuesday. Now the design, it draws inspiration from Korea's heritage of art and craftsmanship, and basically Nike said that it aims to energize the next generation with a fresh take on football style.
I mean, from afar, at least, anyway, I'm sure if you do a close-up of the details, there is more tradition to be met. But from afar, it just looks like nice tie-dye, and tie-dye is always in.
True. Yeah, it does look like tie-dye a little bit, doesn't it?
That's not a bad thing. Yeah. I mean, tie-dye is always trendy when it comes to like spring and summer wear. Before, what did they have? They kind of had this like tiger print, right?
I think so.
Right? Okay. So
I mean, they renew the national football kits, you know, every once in a while.
But that the recent one was not too long ago either. I remember because there was a whole public debate on whether we liked it or not. But
oh, really?
Yeah. But every time there is a little bit of adjustment, the discussion ensues. Yep. Do you love it or do you hate it? Do you miss the old kit?
I like this one, actually.
I actually really like this one, too. Mm. Okay, let's talk about the details with new kit, because that's just my interpretation.
Yes. Yeah, so the kit displays Korean football's signature red with the collar and sleeves that are accented with patterns that are reminiscent of tancheong, which is a traditional Korean decorative coloring on wooden buildings. The addition of tiger claw marks on the collar is a nod, apparently, to the team's fierce and noble spirit. And the team's away kit represents a fusion of old and new. The design takes cues from 나전칠기, which is a traditional Korean mother of pearl lacquerware.
But this is like a modern interpretation of that.
It really is modern, isn't it? Yeah. It features I think it's sophisticated. It's a contrast between black and a shimmering pearl-like pattern. Mm. And again, the tiger claw emblem features on the collar as well. Mm. So apparently the 2024 line from the brand Nike incorporates something called the metaprism method, which captures the spectrum of colors that emerge from changing light and motion. And like you said, it offers a modern twist, a decidedly modern twist on, traditional aesthetics of Korea.
The thing is, throughout your entire description, I'm just kind of nodding my head. Yeah. Like, that all sounds trendy.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like, 나전칠기, we talk about it more these days. There are modern interpretations, young designers who create their own mother of pearl lacquerware and, you know, artistic goods out there. So all of these are very much in line. And sometimes the explanation isn't so obvious to the naked eye, but I see it.
Yeah. Me too.
So maybe this is quite successful. Thoughts, listeners, let us know. Now, one of the key features of sports kits are, of course, their functionality. It's not just about aesthetics, is
it? It's not just a t-shirt or a pair of shorts. These sportswear, they're enhanced with cutting-edge technology, and they're actually tailor-made for peak performance.
I'd expect so.
Yeah, the designs are grounded in body mapping technology, which allows for optimal movement and also ventilation so that athletes can stay, well, as cool as possible under the circumstances. They're running nonstop for how many minutes? And you know, which also helps them stay focused during the game.
90 plus minutes.
Yep. There you go.
All right. So that's the new national football team's gears. Do you love it? So what do you like about it? Do you hate it? That's okay. We're all ears. Let us know.
Yeah.
Our second buzzword this morning. The thing is, when we travel, right, the excitement of planning sometimes outweighs once we get there.
I'm nodding.
I mean, because, and you're well-traveled and you would know, the anticipation is sometimes the best part, because once you get there, it's about adapting to different time zones,
right.
A complete stranger in unfound, uncharted territory for you anyway.
It's survival.
It really is. So I understand why sometimes that's all very overwhelming.
Yeah.
Now, there's ways of making all of that more memorable.
That's right.
Right? It's one thing to pull the heavy weights, but you probably want to come back with new insights.
Yeah, about that country
and
the culture. So there is an influx of international students coming to Korea. The number of students coming to Korea is on the rise as the concept of learncation, which is a combination of the words learn and vacation, it's gaining more and more popularity. And the new trend offers, you know, travelers the opportunity to gain a deeper understanding of Korea's culture through both educational experiences, academic exchanges, that goes beyond just, you know, your typical tourism.
I mean, you can sprinkle in a little bit of the more tourist activities. There's nothing wrong
100%.
With that, but maybe it's a balance, a little bit of both. It's funny because growing up, when my parents, you know, booked the tours of the palaces.
Love your expression.
I wasn't
all
a
the
big,
palaces.
I wasn't a big fan because none of it was being retained. I think it needs to be just the right time in your timeline for you to be able to appreciate that.
We used to go to all the museums and, you know, art galleries, and who likes that when you're a child, right?
Because, you know,
now I love it.
I love it now too. Do you think early exposure helps? Because I'm thinking maybe.
Not sure. I think in my case, it definitely helped.
Okay. Sometimes it doesn't. Other times it does. But all of these are maybe notions of learncation. We just didn't have a word for it.
You're
but
right.
That's exactly what it is in a nutshell. Now, so which countries make up the largest student bodies visiting Korea for the learncation experience?
Yeah. So among the international students that have been arriving in Korea recently, students from the United States and also European countries made up a significant portion. According to the Korea Tourism Organization, the number of American and European students visiting Korea for learncations surged from 519 back in 2019 to 1,445 just in the first half of this year. And we're only in March, right?
So quarter point.
Exactly. And KTO expects that number could reach 3,000 by the end of the year, perhaps even more. So from March 9th, to the 18th, 93 students from Harvard Radcliffe Orchestra came to Korea to perform across different parts of the country. They also took opportunities when they weren't performing on the stage to experience South Korea's local culture. They explored, obviously, the major attractions in downtown Seoul. They experienced meditation, temple food at Jingwansa Temple. And during their visit, they also interacted with Korean university students. They took part in joint performances with Ewha Women's University's Orchestra Club.
Okay.
Similarly, 21 students from Yale University's a cappella club are in Korea right now for a learncation, and they plan to visit, you know, obviously Seoul, Paju, Jeju-do Island until this Sunday. And their itinerary includes a Nanta performance and exploring the demilitarized zone.
Hang on. There's so much to unpack there, but starting with Nanta
still around.
It's still going strong.
Still going strong.
Someone needs to look up how many seasons they've survived. That's remarkable.
Yes.
Remember when Yoo Seung-yong was a Nanta member?
Yep.
like a long time ago, maybe
and
a different life.
It was so big at the time.
Huge. Yeah. They even had classes for a short stint.
Yes,
where
I remember those classes.
Anyone can go in and learn a little bit. It's so hard.
Yeah, I remember I interviewed some of the cast members.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. And I saw the performance a few times as well.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I loved it.
Did you learn how to nanta?
I think so. I must have some old photos lying around somewhere.
Okay, yeah. But that's one of the many experiences as these learncation participants will be taking part in USADMZ, different parts of the country. Jeju-do Island is on the itinerary.
I love the fact that these students are also interacting with Korean students as well, because at the end of the day, that's what you take away from an experience, right? Meeting people and having fun with, you know, people from a different culture who are your age.
Yeah.
That's fun.
The thing is, I think that's before sunrise kind of moments is what I envisioned in my head when I traveled alone for the first time and quickly realized that's not the case in real life. I mean, I was in my early 20s, but the idea is it's a little bit serendipitous to meet someone and become friends with them halfway across the world, or maybe we're on a similar journey. Better if we're students and you have something in common, like orchestra, for example.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, Korean culture has often been associated with the likes of K-pop performances. We talk about Korean celebrities, K-beauty, Korean food, K-dramas. But the increase in learncations could maybe broaden the horizon just a little bit. I saw an interview with one of these learncation participants, and they said, you know, it was definitely more about the glitz of the metropolitan city that attracted them to Seoul, but quickly they realize it's mountainous. Yeah. There's palaces.
Exactly. And when they go back home with this like deeper knowledge of Korea beyond K-pop and entertainment and K-beauty, you know, the word spreads, right? And other people will become intrigued, and hopefully more people will come to Korea to, you know, have a similar experience, and that would definitely boost or invigorate the tourism sector as well.
All right. And they really needed a break.
Yes.
All right. The long awaited break maybe for the tourism industry. Let's move on to our final buzzword this morning. A TV news anchor, a real one, not an AI one, because we do talk about that a lot too, right? She appeared on air with her baby to highlight South Korea's ever declining birth rate.
Yeah. So we're talking about TV news anchor Im Hyun-ju, who appeared on a live TV show on Monday, and she had a very special guest with her, her own baby. She was cradling her baby daughter, Aria, in her arms. And, you know, this is not something that we see every day, right? This opening scene, you know, seemed to seamlessly weave together her personal journey into motherhood. You know, she's a new mother with the more broader pressing issue of South Korea's declining birth rate. So she was holding her baby in her arms, and she, you know, she was talking to the viewers saying, "Today I'm joined by a very special guest. The baby in my arms is my daughter Aria, who turns 170 days old today." And that's how the conversation started.
Sometimes these work beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, TV news anchor is, because I remember, you know, she tried to strike up other candid conversations wearing glasses, for example, trying
different
kinds of outfits to make a statement for fellow female anchors. And now this time she brought her baby daughter.
Yeah. Isn't she cute?
She's adorable. Yeah. So that works on every level.
Yep.
It's good TV and good statement. Now, Im's decision to bring her daughter to the live show was, again, a powerful statement on maybe our society's need to integrate family life more holistically. We tell women you can have it both. You can work and have a family, but the realities are incredibly tough, isn't it?
Yeah, and for her to show people that that is possible, that sends a very powerful message, I think. And she shared her aspiration for a future where the joys of being a parent and, you know, professional fulfillment are not mutually, or doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, but are aspects of life that can be joyfully and freely balanced. And, you know, like you said, she has consistently broken new ground. I mean, you know, it seems silly that we talk about how she was the first female broadcast announcer to wear glasses. But that's, I guess that's the society, the kind of society that we live in.
Yeah.
You know?
And it takes steps.
Yeah.
At the time, seemingly bold steps.
Yeah.
And then with the benefit of hindsight, we think, why was that such a bold step? And it's not just Korea. I think it's just a reputation around, and maybe even a double standard for female as opposed to male TV anchors and journalists and so on and forth. I remember it was Australia or New Zealand. The male anchor wore the same outfit for like a few months.
And that became the talk of the town?
Yeah, because no one recognized that it was the same suit.
Oh, I see.
Whereas a female counterpart was changing her outfit every single day. Right. So what does that say? Still a long way to go, wouldn't you agree? But these kinds of stories definitely enlighten us. Thank you.
Pleasure.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.